Jesus. Merry Christmas to everybody. Listen, we got people in North County, we got people in East County, we got people in the lobby, we got people in the cafe, and we got military across the world. Let's say Merry Christmas to all those people. God bless y'all. God bless you. God bless you. We have a little situation I want y'all to help me with. We have a line of people, we have the overflow full, and we have a line of people outside still in the street here in Point Loma. I got to believe it's the same thing in East County, North County. So what I'm going to ask everybody to do is stand up in all the campuses and take a second while you say hello to people to squeeze in and open up seats because we got to let people in. Squeeze in and say hello. I just want to take a picture with the angel. This is your mom. That's it. God bless you. You did a great job. Give her a big hand. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. How y'all doing? How many of y'all have not shopped yet? Whole bunch of people. God bless y'all. Y'all are my heroes. I always tell my wife, so did we get everything right? Everything's cool, so I don't have to buy anything. So I actually did a shop a little bit, but I'm glad it's tomorrow. How many, Christmas is tomorrow, correct? Okay, how many people here for the first time? Just raise your hand. We want to applaud you and God bless you and welcome you. God bless y'all. Let's pray, and then we'll get right into it. And actually, if you're here for the first time, the video you just saw is an app that I just came out with called Miles a Minute. And it goes on your phone, and you get a video every day, a one-minute video like that every day from me. So it's in your bulletin how to get it, but hopefully that'll be a blessing to you. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for Christmas. Thank you for another Christmas. And we pray that you bless us today. We pray you encourage us today and challenge us in Jesus' name. Amen. To warn you, this is our Chuck E. Cheese service. Do y'all know what I mean by that? Chirrins. Babies. Just chirrins. So we'll just deal with it. If you are a visitor, I just want to give you a little history of our church. And I grew up in New York. My name is Miles, and I grew up in New York and came out to San Diego, played for the San Diego Chargers for 4 years. The first 2 years, I was doing cocaine and smoking marijuana and living wild. And then a teammate shared the gospel with me on a team plane. A few months later, I was on my couch, had done cocaine all night, and just said, Lord, I'm done. I want to follow you. And I gave my life to Christ. I stopped doing cocaine that day. Got back with my girlfriend, who's now my wife for 29 years, that day. Amen. We have three children, 28, 26, and 25. Is that correct? And two of them are married, and my son is sitting here with his wife, and she's having our first grandchild, who's going to be a Miles. Amen. She's having a baby. And he's going to be Miles, and if everything goes right, and he's going to be the pastor of the church, you know, when I die. That's the plan. When I was playing football, when I first got saved, I started sharing the gospel with kids in the neighborhood where I lived, Rancho Penasquitos, which is, 15 minutes from here, 20 minutes from here. And these kids we had nine nationalities. It was predominantly Filipino, but we have Puerto Rican and Black and Mexican and all this kind of Chinese, Japanese. And one of the first kids that ever got saved back in 1984 or 5 is here tonight. She still comes to church. She's here. And she's a little older than that now, but she's here. And I don't know where she is, but I know she's here. And there she is right there. What's up? She's like our little daughter, and it was a long time ago. And so, but when I got saved, I shared the gospel with her brother. It was the first kid I ever shared the gospel with, and he got saved. I said, go get your sister, and he got her. She came home and got saved. And I said, go get your friend, and next thing you know, these kids were in my house. That's how this started. And I consider myself still a youth pastor. If you consider yourself youth, if you consider yourself old, that's your problem. But we want to have fun in the Lord. And so that was in the early 80s. I played 2 more years with the Chargers and became a youth pastor after that. And then we started this church in the year 2000. This is our 13th Christmas. We started at San Diego State at Montezuma Hall. We had 3,300 people our first day. And then it's grown ever since. We have about 14, 15,000 people now on 3 campuses. We have people in North County right now watching in a church there. We have people in East County watching in a church there. And we have that every Sunday, 15 services, 5 in each place. And our secret sauce, there's several secret sauces to what we do. One, we have altar calls, and we ask people to give their life to Christ. And we serve in the community. Last year, we gave $4 million worth of service, the last 2 years consecutive, to our community, because we want to show the love of Christ by serving people, which is what we're supposed to do. And so we want to welcome to the church. We're very excited you're here. And God has blessed us, and we want to be a blessing to you. And so sit back and relax. We're not going to ask you to do anything other than surrender your life. I realized that when I was playing football and before I gave my life to Christ, I didn't realize that God had a plan for my life to speak. And when the San Diego Chargers would ask me to go speak, I would tell them, I am not a speaker. And then when I got saved, God said, no, you are a speaker. I gave you that mouth for me. And I had an identity at birth that I was not aware of. Today's message is called Born Identity, because we're going to talk about the identity of Christ that God established in the Bible. Now, remember, Jesus is eternal, but he came on the scene through Mary at a specific time, and he had an identity and a purpose before he was born. And we're going to read that. As a matter of fact, it happens to be the same verse that Mia, right? Mia read. Did you know I was going to do this verse? Did you know? Because we didn't talk. We just met tonight. Okay. Very good. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. We've been doing a series about Christmas in the Old Testament and what the prophets in the Old Testament have to say about Christmas. A prophet is a person who's a mouthpiece. A prophet's a what? Very good. And a prophet is known by saying what? Very good. How many of y'all were here 2 days ago? Very good. It's 2 days. Certainly you cannot have forgotten so quickly. A prophet is known by saying, thus saith the Lord. And a prophet was a person who only said what God wanted them to say or her to say. And the prophet's job and their calling on life was to encourage God's people to obey him. And they would encourage people to obey him by saying what God told them to say. And sometimes God would pronounce judgment on his people, and sometimes God would pronounce hope. And usually in the prophetical books, there's both. God pronounces judgment because they're always sinners, and then God says, but I have hope for you. The book of Isaiah has 66 chapters, and it's structured after the whole Bible. The Bible has 66 books. The first 39 chapters or 39 books of the Bible are the Old Testament, and the last 27 the New Testament. The first 39 books of the Bible are the Old Testament, and they usually preach judgment, and the last 27 preach hope, because that's where Jesus came. The book of Isaiah has 66 chapters, just like the Bible has 66 books. The first 39 chapters are pretty much about condemnation, and the last 27 chapters talk specifically about hope. Not 100%, because we're going to read from chapter 9, it talks about hope, but in a general sense. And what we're going to read today is this one verse. And it talks about a child. We all know the story. Mary and the manger and Joseph and the star and the angels. And y'all know. And Mary was a virgin and she got pregnant by God. Which I wonder how many people never bought that story. God got me pregnant. Whatever. But God did. Imagine the stress that God put her through. What'd you think about this? Think about you're pregnant in a time when if you got pregnant, they would stone you. And God gets this woman pregnant, and she's got to deal with the fact that she's never been with her husband because she wasn't married. And she's got to carry that, knowing that people are not going to believe her. I wouldn't believe her. Would you believe her? No. God got you pregnant? Please. God put that on it. You may be going through something right now, and you may be thinking, man, God, why are you doing this for me? God has something big for you. Just trust him. And maybe what you're going through now may not be something God's doing to you, maybe something you just brought yourself in, but if you trust God through it, he'll get you through. And so we all know the story about the birth, but here's what Isaiah said in the Old Testament about this child. Look what it says in verse 6. It says, chapter 9, Isaiah verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called." Here are his titles, which are going to tell us about his purpose. His name will be Wonderful Counselor. Everyone say Wonderful Counselor. Say Mighty God. Say Everlasting Father. Say Prince of Peace. Four royal titles. And these, and by the way, Jesus has like 150 names. These are just four of them. But these four will tell us four things about him. Number one, it says he is a wonderful counselor. Say wonderful counselor. The baby was born not to just be born and have a life and die. Jesus was born that he would have relationship with us. Not that we would have holidays. It wasn't about a holiday. We've created into it a holiday. But he was born that he would have relationship with us, that he would live, he would die for our sin, rise from the dead, and that you would accept him as your Savior, and you would enter into relationship. Everyone say relationship. This is not religion. Religion is where I join an organization or a faith, and then I obey these rules to please somebody up there, and hopefully you'll look down and say, you obey the rules pretty good, and then you go to heaven. That is not what this is. God created us to have relationship. Matter of fact, he created us in the first place so we can enjoy what he was already enjoying before he made man, which was relationship. The Father had a Son. The Father had a relationship with the Son. The Son had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had a relationship with the Son and the Father. The Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had a relationship with each other, and it was a relationship of oneness. God said, I'm going to make man. Matter of fact, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit said, let us make man, humans, in our image so they can have relationship with us. And so in the context of their relationship, here's one of the things Jesus wants to be for you, a wonderful counselor. How many of you have a problem you would like to get wisdom on? Very good. You know what the Bible says? Jesus says, the Bible says, God says, call to me and I will tell you great and mighty things you don't know. Great and mighty things you don't know. My wife and I were at two doctors yesterday, and I'm looking at these doctors. I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with her because she's got all this pain in her body for months. And I'm like, Lord, tell me. Speak to this doctor. Speak to that doctor. Speak to that. Or tell me not to go back to that doctor. But we are calling to you to tell us something great and mighty we don't know. You know that Jesus wants to be your counselor. He wants to comfort you with your husband or wife issues, your drug issues, your self-esteem issues. Some of you look yourself in the mirror and you don't like what you see because you're not looking on the outside. You're looking on the inside. I taped a show for the doctors. There's a show called The Doctors, and they're going to air it in January sometime. And as part of my time on that show, I had to do a Dr. Phil. It was Dr. Phil's son who produces the show. I had to do a Dr. Phil with this young girl who was like 19, and she had all these problems. And she says, when I look in the mirror, I don't like what I see. And she's a pretty girl. And I said to her on the show, you know, what do you see? Because you're not looking on the outside. You're looking past the outside into the inside. God wants to counsel you about that. He wants to talk to you. He wants to comfort you. And as you saw in the video, me walking what do you call that thing? Some of you are walking and you're spending all this energy in your life and all this money and all this time and you're getting nowhere. As a matter of fact, your life is getting worse. You need to call to the counselor and say, God, what do I do? Christmas is about the wonderful counselor being born into a world so he can have a relationship with you and speak to you. His other name is Mighty God. Everyone say Mighty God. Mighty God. Woo! You know what this means? That he is bad. He cannot be defeated. Now, for all of you old people in here, and you are old if you know what I'm getting ready to say. It was a cartoon when we were little called Gigantor. Say amen if you know Gigantor. Man, it's like five people in here that old. Gigantor was like a robot, and he was just like, the whole song was Gigantor, and I don't remember the words, but he was like strong and mighty. It was like he would smoke Superman. He was just bad, and he was metal, and he would just fly. There was another cartoon called Vavoom. Anybody remember Vavoom? You need to Google this because y'all are too young to know what really good cartoons are. Vavoom was this little guy, and he would just go, Vavoom, and he would blow holes in mountains with his voice. It's powerful. He was like this big. God is a mighty God. Say mighty God. Jesus came. He was born. He lived. He died and rose from the dead so he can have a relationship with you and be your mighty God. Why do you need a mighty God? Because you have mighty problems. You have a mighty enemy. Not people. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Your enemy is not people. Your enemy is Satan. And he is a mastermind. Satan is so smart that he can deceive you into destroying yourself. He can deceive you into looking yourself in the mirror and actually destroying yourself. Saying things, doing things, consuming things that destroy yourself, and you even know it and you do it anyway. You need a mighty God in your life to defeat the devil in your life, to defeat the strong man, the devil. There's a stronger man, mighty God. Jesus is that mighty God. And when you give your life to him and he becomes your strength to hold you up and get you through your problems, that you are carrying a burden you cannot carry. I was fixing breakfast one day in my house. And I was fixing a bagel at the time. And this bagel started to move across my counter. And I looked and there was a black ant carrying the bagel. And why's it got to be a black ant? I don't know. The brother was strong. He was just black ant. You know what I'm saying? And he was just like, carrying a bagel. And I'm like, this is my house. You're going to steal my food right in front of me. So I swatted the ant and bagel off the counter, and the ant is falling off the counter onto the floor, and the bagel's falling, and you can hear him going, the bagel, bam, on the floor and breaks in five pieces, and the ant just falls on the floor. He's all crunched up, and I'm yelling at the ant. This is my house. You're going to steal my food in my house. I'm yelling at the ant like this, and the ant is back there. And then after about a minute, the ant is all, like, crumbled up because the bagel fell on him. You ever, he just like Transformer came out, popped his legs back out, put that bagel back together, threw it on his back, crawled up the face of the cabinet, and then crossed the counter. I'm like, and then started feeding it into this little hole in my wall. I'm like, that's a bad brother. I am not going to mess with you again. Do you know that ants can carry 35 times their weight? I know some of you think, is that a true story? Part of it is true. Part of it is true. Ants can carry 35 times their weight. You cannot. That's why you need a mighty God. Lord, here is my burden. Here is my pain. Here are my worries. I can't do it. Christmas is about you receiving the gift of salvation. And in the gift of salvation, you get to unload all your sin and the burden of all your sin onto the shoulders of the Lord. Look what else it says. It says, everlasting Father. Now, in the Trinity, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus and the Father are distinct, but Jesus is the Father of salvation. He's not the Father, but he is the eternal Father of hope, the eternal protector, the eternal provider. God wants to protect you, provide for you, care for you, be there for you day in and day out. He says he will never leave you or forsake you ever. Ever. He wants to provide all your needs. When you wake up in the morning and you hear birds singing, those birds have nothing. They have no food. What are they singing about? Can you imagine waking up with no food and singing? What are you going to sing? The only way you can sing is by faith that God, the provider, will take care of you. God is our everlasting provider, our everlasting Father. And then lastly, it says, the Prince of Peace. Everyone say peace. I want you to imagine a lake out in the wilderness somewhere on a sunny day, and the water is just like glass. The trees are all around the lake on the mountains. The birds are flying and doing what they do. The squirrels are squirreling. The rats are ratting. But everything is in order. The wind will blow, but everything is in order. There's no chaos. There's no confusion. There's a lot going on. It's beautiful looking. It's beautiful sounding. It's beautiful feeling. That is peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He wants to give you peace. He wants to take all the chaos out of your life, all the drama out of your life, and just pew. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't have someone chirping in your ear about drama over here. You won't have someone chirping in your ear about drama over here. Pulling on your, I want this, I want this. But your heart is still. Why? The Bible says all of us are sinners and we fall short of the glory of God. And our sin separates us from the love of God. We know about the love of God. We see it, the love of God. But we're not experiencing the love of God. And as you walk on your treadmill doing all the things you're trying to do to get peace in your life, purpose in your life, direction in your life, success in your life, you're going nowhere because your sin is blocking you from God. You can't erase your sin. You can't make your sin go away. You can't do enough good things to overcome your sin. You are doomed to separation from God. Jesus, God said, I'm going to send my son. Who's going to come and die for your sin. He's going to pay the price for your sin because the Bible says the penalty of sin is death. You and I die because of our sin. Because sin is a spiritual offense against God, we not only die physically, we die spiritually. The Bible calls that hell, a place where God will never go, a place that will never experience God's love or his mercy or his forgiveness. So if you die with your sin, God has to reject you and send you to a place where you will never hear about him again. And because we were hopeless and helpless in our sin, but yet God loved us, so what he says, I'm going to send my son who's going to be born on what we call Christmas. He's going to live 33 years. He's never going to sin. And he's going to be tempted in every way you could imagine and never sin. And then sinful man is going to kill him. They're going to whip his back 39 times with 9 leather straps. They're going to pull his beard out, punch his face, hit him with rods, spit on him. And they're going to hang him on the cross because he is paying the price for our sin. It is not only death, it's a painful death. And then he's going to die. And his death is going to satisfy the penalty for our sin in God's eyes. Then he's going to rise from the dead to prove his power over sin and death. But yet we still stand unforgiven. In order for you to be forgiven, in order for you to take advantage of the death that Jesus died for you, in order for you to receive the forgiveness, his death secured, you need to give your life to him. And you need to say, Jesus, I am going to surrender my life to you. Please forgive me of my sin. And when I surrender my life to you, I am now going to live for you. You be my Savior and my Lord and my Master, my mighty God, my wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace in my life, my everlasting Father. In a minute, you're going to have an opportunity to receive the gift of salvation. God wants to forgive you of your sin and grant you eternal life and abundant life. There was a man who walked across a tightrope, a wire across Niagara Falls. It took him 3 hours to get across a tightrope, and all the people were screaming that he was the best tightrope walker there was. And he went, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to put a wheelbarrow on top of the wire and fill it with dirt. And I'm going to take the wheelbarrow on top of the wire and take it across the wire across Niagara Falls. And he looked down at the crowd and said, do you believe I could take this wheelbarrow across this wire? And the whole crowd said, we believe. And he looked down at this little boy and said, do you believe I could take this wheelbarrow across this wire? And the whole crowd said, we believe. And the little boy said, I believe. And he dumped the dirt out and he said, if you believe, get in and go with me. In a minute, we're going to pray, and you're going to have an opportunity here in North County, in East County, online, wherever you are, you're going to have an opportunity to get in a wheelbarrow and say, Lord, I don't want to walk on the treadmill anymore. I'm tired of going nowhere. I want to surrender my life to you. I want you to be my wonderful counselor, my mighty God, my Prince of Peace. I want you to save me from my sin, and I want to surrender my life, and so you can direct my life. But you have to understand, when you ask Christ to be your Savior, you're getting in the wheelbarrow. You're not saying, I'm going to heaven, now I can do what I want. That's not salvation. I just prayed, and now I have to come to the rock. That's not salvation. No, you're getting in the wheelbarrow, and Jesus is now in control. He's now going to show you who you are, why you are, where he wants you to go. But you got to get in the wheelbarrow. Your life doesn't belong to you anymore. What if he makes me a Jesus freak? Oh, hopefully he does. Well, I don't want to be some corny. No, you'll be more corny than you are. You'll be more corny not being a Jesus freak. In other words, you're corny now. People talk about you now. No, when you get in the wheelbarrow, you all of a sudden discover who you really are. Because without Christ, you're just guessing. You're trying to figure it out. When you get in the wheelbarrow, all of a sudden God takes the scales off your eyes and he shows you reality. So right now I'm going to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're in the lobby, if you're in the cafe, wherever you are, if you're watching on one of our microsites downtown or in Logan, wherever you are, close your eyes and bow your head and listen very carefully. I'm going to challenge you to get into the wheelbarrow. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. Physical and spiritual. Eternal separation from God. We know that place as being hell. But the Bible says that even when we were sinners, not thinking about God, he sent his son Jesus to be born, to live, to die for our sin, and then rise from the dead. And he did that so we would be forgiven, so we would have the opportunity to be forgiven. But you have to take advantage of that opportunity by faith and ask Jesus to forgive you. If you do not ask Christ to forgive you and then get in a wheelbarrow by doing that, you will not be forgiven. So you have to make a decision. Do you get into the wheelbarrow or not? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know getting the wheelbarrow, walking with God, and going to heaven is better than not walking with God and going to hell. But that's on you. So in a minute, we're going to pray, and you're going to have an opportunity to say, Lord, I want to get in the wheelbarrow. In the privacy of your heart, if you know you need to get in the wheelbarrow, whether you're here in North County, East County, or an overflow in some room in one of these locations, I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you want to get into that wheelbarrow, and you want to get off that treadmill, off that walking sidewalk I was on in that video, pray this prayer in the privacy of your heart. You don't need to pray it out loud. Pray, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that my sin is wrong. And I know my sin has a penalty. Death. I don't want to die a spiritual death and go to hell. I want to get into the wheelbarrow and give my life to Jesus. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart and be my Savior and my God. Thank you, God. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up if you prayed that prayer. If you're in the East County, North County, if you're in one of the overflow rooms, eyes closed, heads bowed. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. By standing up, you are acknowledging, yes, I am resurrecting to a new life. I gave my life to the Lord, and I'm getting in the wheelbarrow. I don't want you to worry about what anybody in this place thinks, because this is between you and God. This is about your relationship with God. But it is something you will live in public, and it is something we're going to ask you to do in public. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed in all the locations, in all the overflow rooms. If you prayed that prayer in Logan, if you're in there, if you prayed that prayer and you're getting in the wheelbarrow, I want you right now to stand to your feet and acknowledge God's forgiveness. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. 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 God bless you.